Welcome, welcome, welcome. The Lord is worthy to be praised. We invite you to lift your hands and sing how wonderful He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. You get the glory. You get the honor. You get the praise. Amen. Here we go.
Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised.
Let's do it again. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised.
I lift my hands.
I lift my hands. I praise you, Lord.
I bow my head.
I bow my head. I honor you, Lord.
I lift my head.
I lift my head.
We honor you, God.
I praise you, Lord.
I bow my head.
I bow my head.
We praise you, Lord.
I honor you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout of praise that only you and Him know what it means. Hallelujah. because you are good.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
People from
every nation
and tongue,
from
generation to generation,
mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue.
So grateful right now that you're a good, good God, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, right now we just honor you. We dedicate this time right now, Lord, just to worship you. And I ask right now, Lord, that all of you and none of me, Lord Jesus. I honor you in song. I ask all of those that are viewing us today, Lord, just raise your hands in worship. Honor him this morning. Worship him this morning. Give him his just due this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hands up, hearts open, wide as the sky. We lift you high. We lift you high. Hands up, hearts open, wide as we cry. Lord, we lift your name high. Hands up,
hands up, hearts open, wide as the sky.
We lift your name up
we
high,
you, Lord.
We lift your name.
We lift you high.
Hands up,
hands up, hearts open,
wide as we cry. Lord, we lift.
Lord, we lift.
Say it again. Hands up.
Hands up.
Yes.
Hearts open, wide as the sky.
We lift your name on
we
high.
Lift you
Lord,
high.
We lift your name.
We lift you
hands
high.
Hands up.
Hands up. Hearts open,
wide as we cry.
Lord, we lift your name high.
Yeah. Let all the other names fade away. Let all the other names fade away. Till there's only you. Let all the other names fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Let all the other names
fade away.
Oh, let all the other names
fade
away. Jesus,
let
all the other names
fade away.
Jesus, take your place. High, we lift you high. We lift you, sing it with me.
We lift you high.
We lift you high.
We lift you high.
We love you, Lord.
We lift you high.
We glorify your name.
We lift you high,
oh Lord.
We lift you high.
name on high.
We lift you
your name
high.
Is stronger.
We lift up, Lord, we lift your name high.
We lift your name on high.
We lift you high.
We lift you high.
We lift you high.
We lift your name on high. All the other names fade away.
Let all the other names
fade away. Until there's only you. Let all they fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we do honor you so much in this place today. Glory to God. For Lord, you are so good. Hallelujah. Your mercy endured forever. Your truth endured to all generations. Glory to God. Father God, we've tasted your goodness. Thank you, Lord. We know that we are blessed because we do trust in you. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you for this worship experience. We honor you for this time of worship and praise. We honor you for this time where we receive a word from you, a rhema word, a word in season. Even, Father God, revelation truth that makes us free. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you that as we stand before your people to be a vessel used by you, that you do have mercy upon us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to go before the word, to quicken us in our innermost beings, so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word is sharing with us in this place today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I stand, move about to be that vessel that you've set aside to flow through, to share a word with your people in this place today. We thank you that you do stand up in my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak through my mouth, that you do flow through me this morning to say and do everything that Abba, our Father and Jesus, our Lord and King, desire us to say or desire you to say and do through us today. Father God, we thank you that there's no satanic hindrance that will hinder the free flow of your word in this place today. We thank you that we are blessed today. That is, we are empowered to prosper your way as we receive your word on good ground today. That good ground being our hearts and our spirits. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, they are acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Lord, we honor you. We bless you. We trust you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord in this place today. Come on, let's bless the Lord in this place today. Bless the Lord wherever you are. Hallelujah. He's truly worthy of our worship. Glory to God. The psalmist declares, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Somebody say amen. I think the Apostle Paul wrote, in everything give thanks. Glory to God. God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And King David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. Somebody say continually. That's ongoing, isn't it? Shall continually be in our mouths. Amen. Let me start this morning by saying thank you for everybody who prayed for us this past week. Last Sunday, last Monday, last Saturday, I wasn't feeling very well, and I got up to preach on last Sunday, and I still wasn't feeling very well. And I think I called somebody a jackass or something, they tell me. So let me apologize for that. Glory to God. That's not normally what I do. You know, every now and then the Lord will lead us to some places where we have to say some things that we don't normally do. I don't think that was him. I think that was me. Even though I've read in the scripture where Jesus will refer to people as dogs and swine and those kind of things. But that probably was me not feeling so good. So I hope you accept my apology today. And I'll try to call you precious people. Amen. Wonderful people of God. Blessed, saved people. Saints, anointed ones. Glory to God. All those things that the scripture calls you. And if I slip up and say dog, no, I'm just using it in the terminology that the Apostle Paul and Jesus use it in. That is mutilators of truth. Somebody say amen. Well, good morning to you, friendship. Glory to God. Good morning to all of our Facebook friends, all of our social media friends who are sharing with us today. Good morning to all who's sharing with us. This mic is doing his own thing this morning. By way of teleconferencing, it's good to have all of you all with us today. Amen. We're in part number 8 of our teachings entitled Truth Revealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're in part number 3 of our teachings entitled Truth Revealed from Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 through 17, or Knowing People or Learning to Know People Better. I failed to give the B portion of the title last week, and it took away from the impact of the points. Amen. One of the things that we're doing in these passages, the Holy Spirit is doing through these two passages and through the power points that he's given me, is helping us to understand people better. Somebody say people better. Understand why we have our different ideologies and we have our different beliefs and how different and why different social groups gather together the way that they do is because of a lot of times it's the way we think. In most cases, it's the way that we think or, again, our ideologies, et cetera. Amen. So I want to make sure I put emphasis, somebody say emphasis, on part B of the title, that is knowing people and understanding people better. Let's look to our foundational scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 to 17. And we'll look at these from the New Living Translation. And we're going to use the New Living Translation a lot for a little while. So please have that translation ready so that as we refer to scripture, in most cases, unless we say King James Version or New King James Version or Message or ESV or some other translation, we want to use the New Living Translation. Somebody say amen. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, besides, who would patch old clothing with new clothes? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. He says in verse number 17, and no one puts new wine, new ideas, new concepts, new teachings into old wineskins or into old mindsets or old ways of thinking, etc. Amen. For the old skins would burst from the pressure. I guess to make it clear, it would, even though it might be received, it won't hold it a long time. Somebody say amen. Even though the new teachings, concepts, ideologies may be received, but they won't hold them for a long time because the teachings are too strong for them, if you will, too heavy for them, if you will. And Jesus goes on to say, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine. Somebody say new wine. New wine is stored in new wine skins or new ways of thinking, new mindsets, etc., etc., so that both are preserved. Somebody say amen. I think we made this clear last week. Jesus, in his ministry, brought not a new style, not a new way, but he brought a new message, if you will. Somebody say amen. The religious group that Jesus, or the religious groups, because there were more than one, that Jesus' ministry gave birth in the midst of, were ministries that were that gave birth out of the law, or the Mosaic law, if you will, amen. And they gave birth out of a religious setting, if you will, amen. Somebody say amen. Jesus came on the scene not talking about the law that much. He came on the scene, and one of his basic messages was the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. Amen. If you know anything about the Bible or biblical history, we know that Malachi was the last prophet that God used to speak a word through. Amen. Before John the Baptist came on the scene. Somebody say amen. So there was what historians say was 400 years of silence through the last voice, which was Malachi, and the most recent voice, which would be John the Baptist, amen. So John the Baptist came on the scene after he was called pretty much like Old Testament prophets, and then John the Baptist was the messenger that introduced Jesus. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, one day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. The only reason why he knew who Jesus was is because God had told him, the person that he see, the Holy Spirit acting upon, would be the one that he sent, being Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Amen. So after Jesus' wilderness experience, you know, when he was tempted by Satan, he burst on the scene preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Somebody say amen. Now that message is not a new message to us, because we've been privy to the New Testament teaching, and we've been hearing teachings on as it relates to the kingdom of God at least for most of our tenure in the church. Amen. But that was a new message to the religious folks. All they heard about was the law, the law, the law, the law. Amen. And now here comes Jesus teaching what we would call and preaching new wine. Jesus preaching the kingdom. He's preaching the sovereign rule of God in the earth realm. God's taking over, or he's in control again. Somebody say amen. And the religious leaders had a problem with that, because it didn't fit into their ideology, if you will. Amen. So what we are experiencing by way of this teaching is not a new concept. It's an old concept. Amen. Because even as people resist the teachings of Christ today, the religious leaders, my God, resisted it way back then. Just like people resist some of the teachings of Jesus Christ in the church today, in the Christian church. People rejected Jesus' teaching back then. Somebody say amen. So when Jesus talked about the fact you can't put new wine into old wineskin, he talked about the fact that needs to be some change before we can receive what thus saith him. Amen. So I wanted to make sure that we understand, or that we realize, that the things that Jesus is sharing with us by way of revelation today is some of the same things that he shared with the followers of Christ, the religious leaders, 2,000 plus years ago. Somebody say amen. So I need to put emphasis on the fact that this is revelation from Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 through 17, but it's also revelation that helps us to understand and know people better. Somebody say amen. We need to know who we're dealing with in the earth. We need to know how difficult it is for us to reach some folks. We need to know that sometimes when we share the gospel with some people, when it's not Holy Spirit led, they're going to reject you. Somebody say amen. And they're going to reject us based upon what they believe, what their ideologies are. We can go to a bunch of racists, if you will, and try to teach them that God love everybody, and God wants them to love everybody, black and white, or whatever skin color there is. And if God don't reach out and touch their hearts, a lot of times they're going to reject that type of teaching. For us, we know that God so loved the world. And when God, when we read the scripture, for God so loved the world, we know he's talking about everybody. Like Michael Jackson said, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. Somebody, he was talking about everybody. That's good, Lord. But there are some factions in the church that holds to racist doctrines, if you will, amen. And they don't believe that we're on their equal, if you will, amen. So we need to know who we're dealing with. We need to know when to pursue and when to back off, if you will. When to pursue, when to back off. And we can know those things based upon understanding the people that we are dealing with in the world, amen. My wife always said, don't say big old, but I'm going to say big old this morning. Honey, I hope you'll allow me. We're in a big old world, amen. It is big and it is old. We're in a big old world. And we're gonna encounter all kind of people in this world, amen. So we need to understand the people that we're dealing with better. Last week, we gave you 3 points, and I'll hit them real quickly so that I can finish up these lessons today, because God got somewhere else for us to go next week, I believe. Amen. Point number 3, we say oftentimes, somebody say oftentimes, persons need to change. They say change. Oftentimes the way that they're thinking before they can receive or accept certain teachings, amen, certain instructions, certain teachings, certain ideologies that needs to be changed on the inside before a person can receive those teachings. We saw Nicodemus last year. The Lord said, you can't see the things that I'm teaching unless you're born again, unless you're changed on the inside, amen. You get changed on the inside by my spirit quickening your spirit so that you can be alive unto my teachings. Then you can receive what I'm sharing by way of kingdom teachings, etc. Amen. And then number 4, we said differences in opinions. Somebody say we got different opinions. Somebody say opinions like ears and noses. All of us have them. Somebody say amen. That ain't what they said, but I cleaned it up. Somebody say amen. Differences in opinions, beliefs, and interests can lead to division, even separation among people and people groups. Somebody say amen. So there are some beliefs, there are some interests, there are some opinions that we have. They got to be deep-rooted for us to want to separate from people. Somebody say amen. Let me just pick up there for a minute. There are bad divisions. The type of separation from people that hurt people. And then the Bible speaks of good division, if you will. Separating from people for a good cause, if you will, amen. If you've read the Old Testament in any length, you will see that God asked his people to separate from the heathen, or the non-God people, if you will, amen. And it was really because God understood that if they intertwined with them on a regular basis, if they married, or if the Israelites or the children of God married heathen people, a lot of times they would take on their ways. And when they take on the ways of the heathen, they begin to put out the light of God in the lives of God's people. And God chose the people so that they could exalt him, share him with the world, amen. So God knew that if you get all intertwined with those folks, or with the heathen, I didn't mean to say those folks, with the heathen, you just might take on their practice of idolatry and idol worship and things that are contrary to my will, if you will. And I'm thinking about King Solomon right now. I don't know how much you know about King Solomon, but you can read about him in the book of 1 Kings. King Solomon started out good. He started out doing the will of the Lord just like God wanted him to do. But then he started intertwining his life with the heathen women. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Still blows my mind. And a great deal of those women were heathen women. And the scripture says that they pulled him away from following the ways of God. Amen. And this is the thing that God was warning them about. Don't intertwine with the folks, because you're not strong enough. You're going to end up taking on their ways, etc. And Israel and Judah got in a lot of trouble with God because they did those kind of things. That's why they went into bondage several times, or at least twice, Assyrian bondage and Babylonian bondage, because of the fact they were caught up in ways that God desired them not to be caught up in. So there is good separation, and then there's bad separation, if you will. Somebody say amen. Let's prove that from the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verses number 26 through 29. Y'all all right? Amen. Paul writes, "For every time you eat this bread," talking about the Lord's Supper, "and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." So you need to eat this thing right. And not in a wrong manner, amen, because you're exalting the death of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Verse number 27. He says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood." Let me make sure I'm in the right place. Let's go to verse 17. I'm sorry. I know that didn't look right. He says, but in following, and this still is referencing the Lord's Supper, "but in following instructions, I cannot praise you." He said, "For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together." Now, he didn't intend for them to do more harm than good when they met together. But this was happening because of certain divisions, if you will. Verse number 18. He says, "First, I hear that there are divisions among you." Some teachers will say schisms, if you will. Schisms among you, divisions among you, when you meet as a church. And to some extent, also I believe it. He knew the people he was dealing with, amen. Verse number 19. He said, "But of course, there must be divisions." Somebody said divisions. "Among you, so that you who have God's approval will be recognized." Amen. There are some divisions, you saw that's causing harm. But then there are some divisions that needs to happen so that God can be recognized against the group that's dividing themselves from the group who are not walking just like God desires them to walk. Does that make sense? So sometimes there's good division. And then oftentimes there's bad division. Amen. We see more bad division in the earth realm than we see good. Somebody say amen. Point number 5. We said last week that new teachings, even new ways of teaching, are not readily received from individuals who are indoctrinated with old ones. Somebody say indoctrinated. I don't think I put enough on indoctrinated. Because indoctrinated is the term indoctrinated or indoctrination is a strong word. When you talk about somebody being indoctrinated, you're talking about somebody having some stuff deep-seated or deeply rooted in them, amen. So much so until they'll fight for their cause. Deep-seated stuff, almost like mindsets, if you will. Almost like bedrock thoughts, if you will. Thoughts that are hard to get rid of, amen. So we said that some teachings are hard to receive from people when they are indoctrinated with other teachings. And we can see that again in the life of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, if you will. From biblical times, amen, they were so indoctrinated with the law, even though they had different interpretations, etc., until they wouldn't readily receive the teachings of Jesus, amen. You see some Jews getting saved in abundance when you get to the book of Acts, amen. When teachers begin to teach in a way, or preach in a way, where the word cut them, to the heart, if you will. And a lot of times, there was some type of miracle that took place before they could share the word. And the word and the miracle cut to the heart, and then they got to the place where they would receive the word, and a lot of people were saved. Amen. So you can be so indoctrinated. Say so indoctrinated with beliefs and ideologies, etc., until it's hard for you to receive new teachings. And I said in some instances like that, it takes a supernatural refreshing from the presence of God in order for the person to change. Somebody say amen. So we'll pick up on today's lesson. Pick up on point number, what is that? Five, if you will. Somebody say amen. And here again, God is trying to help us to understand why people are the way that they are. Amen. Number five says that people with the same ideology, somebody say same ideology, that is, the same doctrines, the same myths, and the same beliefs tend to flock together. Again, people with the same ideologies, that is, doctrine, myths, and beliefs, tend to flock together. Now, first we see this in politics. Somebody say politics. Man, the word I was trying to think of last week was polarized. Somebody say polarized. Man, we're living in such a polarized society now until, in a lot of instances, the Democratic group don't want anything to do with the Republican group. And vice versa. Somebody say amen. And it's causing a great divide between the groups or between people, amen. And it's because of ideologies. It's because of different beliefs. I believe that the top 1% ought to get tax breaks so that they can keep on making the most money because they are creating jobs. I don't believe that's so. I believe that the middle class ought to get the best tax breaks, et cetera, et cetera. And there are just so many differences that they're fighting now. One party is trying to get some money out there so that they can bring some relief to the ailing people as a result of the pandemic. And the other party is saying that there's too much money that they want to put out there because, my God, because we're going to put our grandchildren and great-grandchildren in hock. But the hypocritical part of that is when the other side was doing what they did to create debt, they didn't quite see it that way, man. So there's fighting among the political parties. Somebody say amen. And then we still see this infighting in the church among religious groups, if you will. I believe this and this only. Another group believes faith in the word. Another group believes something else. Well, we're all Christians, but our doctrines, our ideologies, if you will, keep us separated. I can't worship with them because they don't believe in speaking in tongues. I can't worship with them because they don't believe in the laying on of hands and healing ensue. I can't worship with them because they believe in the gifts of the Spirit manifested in the worship experience. So there's still a lot of ideologies, and I'll call them ideologies because a lot of the ideologies or opinions, if you will, are contrary to the word of the Lord. A lot of times we teach that some things passed away with the first century church. But how can we make those judgments, if you will? How can we make those judgments when the scripture talks about the working of the gifts of the Spirit? And the Bible talks about the fact that they're for the whole body to profit from. A lot of times, a lot of times the body ain't profiting the way that God desires to profit because we're not allowing the Spirit to work in the church the way God desires the Spirit to work. I mean, a lot of times, and it's probably something I ought not to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of times we put more emphasis on the Spirit shouting us and making us run than we do on what the Bible actually says about the Holy Spirit. And then we'll reject some of the things that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit because of the fact we put the emphasis on the emotional part, if you will, amen. The Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to do. But the Bible plainly tells us some of the things that he does in the life of the believers. And because all of these different beliefs, ideologies, etc., there's still separation in the church. Amen. And then we want to talk about social groups. There's separation among social groups because of ideologies. You don't want to hang around with a skinhead. You don't want to hang around with Ku Klux Klan. Ku Klux Klan don't want to hang around with Black Lives Matter people, etc. And it's because the difference in the ideologies. We believe certain things. Somebody say believe certain things. I believe certain concepts that some groups uphold or hold up, but I don't always believe in all their beliefs. Does that make sense to you? I can believe in a general concept without believing in the core beliefs of a particular group, if you will. Does that make sense to you? So because of the different ideologies, if you will, and I keep using that word because that's a strong word, because of the different ideologies, we have divisions in politics, religion, social groups. I don't believe that's going to change unless God does a work in the hearts of people. Michael, we can disagree, but we can still love one another. You might believe in having 12 children. I might believe in having 3. But that ain't going to keep us from fellowship because I love you. And I believe you love me. You believe in fishing. I believe in just riding in the boat. Somebody say amen. But I can fellowship with you on the boat because I believe in riding in the boat, if you will. Okay, now about the fishing. So we got to get to the place where our differences don't separate us. And I believe that's going to take an act of God. Somebody say amen. Number 6. This is the point I'm getting ready to share with you. Now, I really began to see this some years ago. When we first moved over here, when we first transitioned from College Field to here, I noticed that a lot of folks started leaving. I see things, but I don't always say something. So I began to see that different socioeconomic class of folks were leaving. And I began to sort of say, why is that, Lord? And then I would talk to them, and I would say, well, what's the difference in where you're going and where you are? Is there a difference in the word? And a lot of times they'll tell you no. But they wouldn't tell you why they made the change. Was it a personality? A lot of times what I've learned from the Holy Spirit is a lot of people like to worship the way that they live. They like to worship the way, I mean, they don't live in the hood. A lot of folks don't want to worship in the hood. Does that make sense to you? No matter how good the word is. Okay, let me give you a modern example, if you will, contemporary. I have a friend that had a booming college ministry going on. And they were going over to UAB. They were getting folks saved. And they were getting folks fired up about the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. And then one Sunday, a group of the college students drove to the church where the ministry emanated from. And they said to the pastor that we can't do this. We can't worship like this because this is not the way that we are accustomed to worshiping. We've seen worshiping in a different way, on a more, I won't say higher, but a more ritzy, on a more richer scale, if you will, amen. So because of the way that they saw life, the way that they saw life had to line up with where they worship. Does that make sense to you? Somebody say amen. So this introduces this point. Number 6. This is 6 or 7. I never gave the point. I just gave an illustration to the point. So this will be number 6. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Based on what I got on my paper, I'm going to call it 6. If you need to write 7 on your paper, that's fine. We're going to differ, but we ain't going to fall out about it. So somebody say amen. This point says most people, allow their ideologies, that is, their doctrines or teachings, myths, and beliefs to guide their social fellowship, if you will, or to guide their social movement, that is where they hang out with people. They allow those ideologies to guide their social involvements, the people who they fellowship with on a regular basis. Somebody say amen. They also allow those ideologies to guide their institutions or where they do their studies or higher education, even where they go to church. Somebody say amen. And then they allow those ideologies to govern who they hang out with as it relates to socioeconomics. I'm rich. I don't want to hang out with no poor folks. I'm poor. I don't feel like I should be hanging out with rich people. Somebody say amen. And then we'll allow some of these things to allow us to create, I hear you, Lord, to create biases in the church, if you will, or to mistreat people. Somebody say amen. Let me give you a scripture example of that. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Y'all all right? If I was musty, stinking, dirty, worked all night and went to church and didn't have a chance to change my clothes, there have to be some churches I wouldn't be welcome in because of the way that I smell, the way that I dress. This ain't an old concept. I mean, this is not a new concept. It happened in the Bible. Somebody say in the Bible. James chapter 3. Let's see. Beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly." That's interesting, isn't it? That's why you got a lot of preachers that don't want to do nothing but preach. Because they understand they're responsible for the word that they put out there to the people. Somebody say amen. "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect." See that? If I could control my tongue last week, I would have been perfect. Somebody said perfect. "And could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse." This don't look like what I want to be reading. Maybe okay, go to chapter 2. I'm sorry, I had it written down wrong. Chapter 2. But what I was reading was good too. Somebody say amen. "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting in your church dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, 'You can stand over there,' or else, 'Sit on the floor.' Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by what? Evil motives." He goes on to say, "Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith?" Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have rich faith because you're poor. But it does mean that you can have rich faith and be poor. Does that make sense to you? He goes on to say, "Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress some do, who oppress you and drag you into court during that period that was happening?" Somebody say amen. "Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ during that time it was happening, whose noble name you bear?" Verse number 8, "Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures." What is the royal law? "Love your neighbors as yourself." Anybody can be your neighbor. Somebody say amen. "But if you," excuse me, "favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. Somebody say amen. What law? The law of love. The law that says we to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. So there are some practices in the church now as it relates to how we deal with different people groups that needs to change. Amen. Number 7, because I need to get done. I only have 10 minutes left. New concepts. Somebody say new concepts. New ideas are not easily received when people are indoctrinated with old ones. New concepts, new ideas are not easily received when people are indoctrinated with old ones. I look at this new concept of virtual church. Somebody say virtual church. There are some folks who are indoctrinated with, we got to meet in the building. And if we don't meet in the building, we ain't doing everything that the Lord wants us to do until they won't do virtual church. Let me go on record. I love virtual church. I love the new concept. Because I could be in my house and teach Bible study. I can have on a shirt, have on my pajamas on the bottom. Somebody say amen. I can get through teaching Bible study. Turn off the Facebook page. Turn off the Zoom. Unplug the teleconferencing. Take off my shirt and go get in the bed. Don't have to ride nowhere. Just walk over from one room to another. Amen. I love the virtual church concept. I can get on every first Monday of the month, and I can share without even leaving my house. Somebody say amen. I love the virtual church concept. Some folks can't receive it. Somebody say can't receive it. I love the fact that when we grow, we don't have to have multiple services if we don't want to, if we're on virtual church. Somebody say amen. See, virtual church says that I can pick my service on demand. I can miss the gathering, Michael, and still get the same full church service by just clicking a button. Somebody say amen. If I got to work on Sundays and miss my service, I can get it on demand. Somebody say on demand. And if I'm one of them kind of people that like the preaching and not the singing, I just stroll over to the singing or to the preaching when I get it on demand. Or if I like the worship and not the preaching, I can just listen to that portion. I love the virtual church concept. And I don't see it going anywhere. I like the fact that on Wednesday when I'm teaching Bible study, I don't look at the same 6 or 7. Somebody say 6 or 7. Yeah. Or 13 or 15. When I see all those people on Facebook Live, I'm saying, goodness gracious, some of these folks ain't never seen the Bible study. Or when I see them click on, what's that other thing? Zoom. These are people that probably wouldn't automatically come to the service. But you're reaching them by way of teaching because of this new concept called virtual church. I love the virtual church concept. Now, we still can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some do because it's the mandate of the Lord that we come together. Amen. But just in case you don't show up, you can still get what you missed. Somebody say amen. New movie come out at the theater. I might miss it at the theater, but I can click on my TV, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and I can see the movie just like you saw it. Maybe a little bit, the version might be a little bit cut, but I can still see the movie. Somebody say amen. Some concepts, some new concepts, some new ideas. People in the church can't even receive. Now, when y'all come back, when we come back, I might not walk no more. I said, I might not. I might do like Jesus. I might get me a chair. Jesus sit down and talk. I might get me a chair and just sit down and teach. Some folks won't be able to handle that because they used to pastor just walk around. Some folks can't get used to the pastor not screaming, if you will. He ain't preached today, he ain't screaming. Some people just can't receive new concepts, if you will. I never saw in the scripture where Jesus screamed. I saw where he preached, which is a proclamation, if you will. And don't start just teaching the teachings of Christ or teachings of the kingdom. Some folks going to walk away because they want you to teach everything that the Bible said. And it's sort of impossible to do that. Somebody say amen. So some concept. Somebody say new concept. People cannot receive. Even in the church, amen. Number 8. And I'm coming to a close. New teaching. Somebody say new teachings. Lord have mercy. Can make the gap worse. That is, cause a wider divide between the old and the new. You can teach some new teachings, and if some folks are still stuck in the old, you go along with the new, and some people are catching on with the new, but as long as they stay back, the gap is going wide. Somebody say amen. There won't be, my God, there won't be catch up until there's repentance. Or until there's a change in the way that a person thinks. And then they still might not catch all the way up because a lot of teachers have gone forth and have left them behind, if you will. Somebody say amen. So it caused, if you will, yes sir, the divide to get worse. Somebody say amen. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 16. And I could finally get a visual on this. For a minute, I couldn't. Jesus says, besides, who would patch old clothing with new clothes? For the new patch would what? Shrink and rip away from the old clothes, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Got me a visual now. I can see what the Lord is saying. I can even see it as it relates to the different groups that he was dealing with. Some of these teachings I'm teaching, Jesus is saying, is going to drive a deeper wedge between the religious folks and my followers. And it's simply because of the fact they are not ready to receive what thus said the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? I burst on the scene when I first came here almost 23 years ago, teachings on the kingdom of God and all those kind of things. I can remember this real, real well. I was teaching about traditions in the church and how we hold things and high esteem that the Lord don't even hold in high esteem. Like kids couldn't walk across the pulpit. Because of the fact that there was a holy place for the holy man of God. Well, the Bible called all of us holy. The Bible called all of us in Christ Jesus are saints. So the Lord would have me to start tearing down some of those things, if you will. The folks, you couldn't bump up against the communion table. That was a tradition that we held on to. You know, nobody could touch the communion table except the appointed people, if you will. Well, I went a little bit too far, perhaps, because one Sunday I was teaching about, tearing down that tradition of not touching the communion table, and it was wood like everything else, and you don't know who made it, really. So I sat on the communion table. Oh, my God. I got some recourse from that. Somebody say amen. But we're trying to just make, I told him I'd make the table holy because I'm holy when I sit on it. Amen. Somebody say amen. That was teachings that people were not used to hearing. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And wherever I stand and sit, that makes it holy. Somebody say amen. So I had to tear down those things. And then the Lord had to deal with me about some things. And this is what he told me this morning, and I'm closing. He said that the prophets, say prophets to the nations have to tear down stuff. That's part of what they do. And a lot of times they have to tear down before they can build up. Try to build a new structure on an old structure and see what happens. Oftentimes you got to tear down the old structure in order for the new structure to erect, if you will. Somebody say amen. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse number 5. Let's start at 5. How do you know I was going to go to 5?
You in the spirit today?
He told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I formed you in your what? Mother's womb. Before you were born, I what? Set you apart. And I what? Appointed you as my what? Prophet to the nations. Nations has to do with all kind, all races. All races. And this is what I need you to do as it relates to races. Somebody say amen. Go down to verse number 10. He said, today I appoint you to stand up. That ain't 10 there, dear me. He didn't even know. He said, today I appoint you to stand up against what? Nations. All races. And what? Kingdoms. Somebody say kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down. Destroy and what? Overthrow. Others you must what? Build up and plant. The reason why some stuff had to be torn down and uprooted is because it was the ideologies, if you will. God has called some of us to deal in some heavy areas. We got to deal with the races. We got to deal with the racist teachings. We got to deal with the black folks who are racist, the white folks who are racist. Because we got some black racists. We got some black folks that believe all one group of people are evil. We have to deal with all that. We have to tear that down. We have to uproot that. Some of my best friends have been from the other persuasion, if you will. And see, when I say things like I'm getting ready to say, now people get mad at me. But some of my worst treatment has been from my folks. The people that look like me, or almost look like me. We got to tear down. We have to tear down some of those beliefs that keep us separated. That's what a prophet to the nation has to do. Somebody say amen. Go over to Jeremiah 31:28. This is a good one. And I'm closing. My time is up. Oh, I can't go over to 31:28. Take it out. I try to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Take it down quick before they start reading it. Amen. So God, somebody say God. God wants us to understand what we are up against as it relates to people. He wants us to understand what drives people. He wants us to understand why some groups are the way that they are. You and I are the way that we are based upon some ideologies, some that we've learned that are contrary to the will of the Lord. Some of us has changed a lot because we've taken hold to the concepts of Christ, if you will, amen. But there's still some work to do, if you will. I heard somebody say, and I'm trying to close, one of the most segregated places in the world is church on Sunday mornings. You got all this group here, all that group there. There is some intermingling, but with the present climate, what's going on with equality and all those things going on, inequality that's going on in the world today, you're going to see some of that drift away. And you're going to see people mingling together with people that they're comfortable with. And we got some things that we got to strip away, tear down, as it relates to the teaching, or as it relates to what the Bible has said. The tearing down will come from the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to say. Somebody say amen. So God wants us to know who we're dealing with, why we are the way that we are, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of it don't have nothing to do with the Word of God. Nothing. I remember, you know, and I'm trying to close. I've mistreated my wife in my relationship with my wife. And my mistreatment didn't come from what I saw in the Word of God. The mistreatment came from what I learned in the streets. Ideologies from the street. Ideologies from the streets. We have to work on all that stuff. Because I'm supposed to hold my wife up as a gift from God. I'm married to somebody who brings me favor from God. And I'm mistreating them, Jeremy. Because I'm working on some worldly ideology opposed to what the Scripture has to say. She's supposed to submit to me, but it has to be willingly. And if I love her the way Christ loved the church, that makes it easier for her to submit, amen. I'm not supposed to get the stick and go to swing at her because she won't submit, amen. That's going to drive her away, if you will. Somebody say amen. But some of those things, Michael, we learn in the street. We got to tap them up a little bit if they don't do what we tell them to do. Go wake up dead. That's what's going to happen. Because, that's a strong amen over there. Because some women won't take that. There are some things in the church that's going on today that we must continually to tell down by the word of God, if you will. Somebody say amen. So, I believe I'm done today. So we bless God for what he's allowed us to share today. Hopefully. I hope that some of us begin to take a look at us. The Bible said that the word of God is like a mirror. And if you see yourself in the mirror of the word, you need to make some adjustments. We need to make some adjustments. Because sometimes the Lord will allow somebody to be your mirror so that you can see where you are erring and make the adjustments that need to be adjusted. This word is something else. This word is something else. Something else. Somebody say amen. So hopefully, if you listen to these teachings from a neutral place, if you will, you were able to see yourself, or we were able to see ourselves in places that God desires to see ourselves. Somebody say amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are, my God. Lord, what else do you want me to say? And hopefully some of us can move from religion to Christianity. From religion to Christianity. Religion and Christianity sometimes bump heads. God, my God. You remember the woman who was caught in adultery? The law said that she should be stoned. Jesus didn't just right away stone her. When they brought the woman, it's a whole lot of stuff right there. They brought the woman, said this woman was caught in adultery. The law said that she should be stoned. What do you say, Lord? He just bent down and started writing. Something else was said, he just kept writing. He said, he who is without, yeah, you're right, she should be stoned. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus looked up. All the accusers were gone because they had sinned. And Jesus said to the woman, where are your accusers? They're gone. Jesus said, neither do I accuse you. And here's the irony. Jesus could have stoned the woman because he was the only person who didn't have no sin. But what did he do? He gave her mercy. He showed her compassion. So sometimes when the law can be, should be applied, sometimes when we're walking in Christ's likeness or Christianity with the Lord, would have us to practice mercy instead of law. Somebody say amen. So some of us in the church need to move from religion to Christianity. And then we'll be that light, that salt that God desires to be. Amen. Anything else, Lord, you want me to say while you got me standing here? Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for your word. It's truth. It's, my God. It's liberating, Lord, if we'll let it set us free. And we thank you for your liberating word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Have someone needs Jesus today as Savior and Lord of your life. If you do, here's your opportunity to invite him into your life, into your heart. You can simply say, Lord, come into my life, change me, save me. Or you can pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. And then after you've received him according or by faith, you can pray prayer thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. Am I talking too fast? Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. If you prayed that for the first time, and you believe by faith that he's come in, glory to God. There are some other instructions on the screen that will help you to solidify your belief in Jesus Christ today and solidify the fact that accepting him as Savior and Lord brings you into a saved relationship with him. Somebody say amen. If you're sharing with us today and you desire to give to this ministry, we have about 5 ways that you can sow into this ministry. And I'm smiling because there are some people that don't even want to receive these new concepts of giving or getting your money to the ministry that you desire to give them to. Amen. There's Givelify. Somebody say Givelify. You can go to the App Store and download it if you need to. If not, if you already have it, you just click on Givelify, find Friendships Christian Church Ministries. Click on that and follow the promptings and give when it prompts you to give. Amen. And then there's Cash App. Somebody say Cash App. It starts with money sign. Dollar sign. Which one is it? Dollar sign. I don't know why I can't get that right. Dollar sign, capital F, Friendship CCM, if you will. Amen. Or you can give by way of PayPal. You can go to our website. That must be a new concept that I'm not willing to accept. Amen. You can go to our website, www.friendshipccm.org. Click on the giving prompt, follow the prompt, and give by way of PayPal. Amen. You can give by way of blank bill pay, if you will. That's online banking, the same way that you pay your bills online. Amen. And you can always mail us a check to 1238 or mail us a money order or however you want to mail it to us. 1238 Center Point Parkway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35215, and that's the United States Postal Service, if you will. So there are those are the five avenues that we use to receive monetary gifts from you. Amen. Let us not forget that Children's Church started at 11:30 a.m. The Children's Church meet by way of Zoom. The meeting ID is 832-3475-6582. Again, 832-3475-6582. One more time, 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680-632. Again, 680, yes, Lord, 632. One more time, 680-632. Amen. We have Bible study each Wednesday night, beginning at 6:45, we do Bible study by way of Zoom. Zoom meeting ID is 825-199-7060. Again, that's 825-199-7060. And the password is FCCM, lowercase, all lowercase letters. Yes, sir, 1238. FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. We also do Bible study by way of Facebook Live and by way of teleconferencing. The teleconferencing number is 1-800-697-4304. 1-800-697-4304. And the password is 205-261-4921. Somebody say amen. Did I do good? Amen. And lastly, we sadly announced the passing of one of our own, but we celebrate the transitioning to heaven of one of our own, Sister Rhoda English. Sister English was a sweetheart. She was a sweetheart. She's been sick for a little while, and she made the transition from earth to heaven. The visitation will be tomorrow from 2 to 6 at a new funeral home on this side of town. It's called, somebody will help me, JM, y'all help me, my time is up, JM. It's, okay, I know it's on Old Spring Road. I just want to give the name. It's JM something. It was in your last. JMW Funeral Home. The address is 2216 Old Springfield Road. 2216 Old Springfield Road. And the homegoing celebration of Graceside services will be Tuesday at 12 noon at George Washington Carver Memorial Cemetery. Somebody say amen. Now, the family has invited the church to do visitation with them tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Now, that's sort of risky, but they gave the invitation. I want to give the invitation to you because that means a lot of people will be in there at one time. And I don't know how well we can do social distancing. But I want to give you the invitation because they've given us the invitation because they said we're family. And they wanted us to be with them tomorrow. My plans are to be there at 11 o'clock to be with them. If you don't show up, I understand. But please support the family by way of viewing the remains of Sister English sometime during the day on Monday. Somebody say amen. I believe that's all I got to say, Michael. Friendship, Facebook audience, social media audiences, YouTube, etc. Until next week, we pray God's blessings upon you. We pray that He keep you. We pray that He prosper you in every area of your life. And we pray that your relationship with Him will bloom, increase, grow in Jesus' name. Amen.